This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to Free Left Turn, Left Wing Perspective, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Was it Happy Hogmanay?
What's the Scottish? That's Scottish.
Hogmanay.
Scottish.
Burns
yeah.
Night.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
2026. So yeah. We survived another year.
Yeah, we did. Just at times.
Yeah. You know, we always think about that. Where's that clock?
Doomsday clock.
Yeah.
But I say the big plus for me this year was building my garden shed and getting ripe tomatoes for Christmas. And, yeah. And that was I've never done either before, but yeah. So that was my. I was thinking about it this morning. I thought, well, then what have I really done? And that was a big one. My tomatoes.
Yeah. What about you, Mick?
I don't know, I'm glad to see the back of 2025.
Yeah.
And I hate to be a doom merchant, but I don't think 26 is going to be much better.
I got that feeling too.
Well, there's something like 40 conflicts around the world at the moment.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Fuel, and who makes money off those?
Same individuals
who make money off everything else.
Who will provide the construction companies for the rebuild.
Yep, exactly.
Same individuals.
Who own the media... corporations, etc. Same families. Yeah. You get a feeling that we're just led by the nose.
You know.
And the population's indifference. They'd rather think what cafe they're going to or anything else. And we're not big picture thinkers. Discouraged it. No, you know.
I did cheer a little bit and did chortle a bit because apparently Starmer's fortunes have sunk even low. Now it's between minus 40 and 50.
Okay.
That has to be a record.
Yeah. They've certainly had lots of problems since Brexit. They've just got tripped over and tripped over. All parties, it seems. The only brights, even the Your Party, which is a left. They sort of shot themselves in the foot that many times and then wondering why the support's a bit nervous. The only real right for me is really the rising star of the Green Party and Zach Polensky in the UK. He's been sort of a breath of fresh air.
And they've got some local elections coming up too.
Yeah, in May, in which, let's face it, elections, I suppose, around the world, we think we give comments, et cetera, and we read the papers, et cetera. But you actually get a real understanding of what's going on often with how the elections, the results of elections, and which way the trends are and what the issues are. Yeah. There's, as I say, the May the 1st elections in the UK, which are local elections, but they're not for Scotland and Wales. You know, they have their parliamentary, they have their own parliaments.
Yeah.
Subservient to the...
Westminster, of course.
So it will be interesting how they get on because over there we don't see much of it. We saw an attempt at it in Hamilton and some other places, but over there they definitely stand for local councils on tickets generally. They have a few independents, but they're either a Labour ticket or Conservative ticket or a Reform ticket or a Green ticket. So we'll give an indication of what the population's thinking.
Yeah, well, Reform seems to have proved that they can come up with the rhetoric, but they can't do the governance. There's this local council is reform dominated, and it's just chaos.
So that'll be interesting. But there's other big elections too. There's Germany's got what do you call their? They have provinces.
Or state elections.
They have state elections. Yeah. They have it scattered, but they're not all in one. No, but that'll be an indication of how the Germans are thinking, how the AfD is getting on, because they are far right, but they're also not so keen on having a war with Russia, which I agree with. They shouldn't, This militarization of the West is awful.
Yeah, well, Germany just reintroduced conscription.
Yeah, you were saying.
Yeah, I think.
Apparently, it seems that the government's sending out letters to 18-year-olds. Men are obliged to respond if they're going to go into the armed forces, but apparently young females are exempt.
France was talking about it too, wasn't they?
This is the militarisation of the West.
Conscription, yeah.
And what happens when you build up for militarisation? What tends to happen afterwards? And what they're still not thinking of, if it goes real bad, this won't be a gentleman's war, so to speak, where the wealthy sit back and the poor get shot by drones or localised missiles. This will be nuclear. This will be population stuff, you know?
Unfortunately.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, but there's other elections. There's elections in Brazil. President Lula's re-standing. He wasn't going to, but he's 80.
Is this going for his second term, is it?
Third. He's been once before, then he got sacked. Yeah.
So this is the second term.
He went to jail for a while, didn't he? But what's interesting, Bolsonaro, who was the previous president, is sort of in jail, but seems to be...
due to be released.
Depending on who you...
what you believe.
But anyway, he's back in jail, but his son's standing. So that'll be a good indication about Brazil, because it's got a very strong far-right sort of militaristic...
Part of it.
And Lula's very popular, but he is 80. You know, you've got to try and get succession if you have him to these sort of organisations. Because the trouble is you don't, you get frail and not old and you're not as sharp as you were. Someone young from the far right comes along or the right wing and it undoes it. So, you know, Lula should have been going, all right, who's next, you know?
Yeah.
And supporting him, a bit like Winston Peters, you know. Where's his protege? He's so busy, you know, looking at his own mirror. Why doesn't he actually, all right, who's next? And start standing back. But no, you know.
They don't do that.
It's probably Shane Jones, wouldn't it?
You don't know. You remember Ron Marks? He strung him along for ages and then he still didn't give him the anointed title.
I mean, he's much better.
No.
But
he's not in it anymore. You know, he gave it away.
He's got too much of that military stuff in it here for him.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? I think succession.
Plan.
I think there's got to be success. But like societies, we should be, our age especially, but we should be thinking, okay, well, how's our society going to look in the future? We might be dead. Like I was talking about migration. How's our country going to look 20, 30 years out? We'll be gone.
You know, I just had a very good stream. And I was talking to a 15-year-old, 16-year-old in New Zealand in Christchurch.
Yeah.
And a 15 or 16-year-old in London who's a member of the Youth Parliament.
Okay.
Because they've now brought in voting at 16.
It's law in the UK. Yeah.
Mm. And this young kid in Christchurch is advocating the same thing. That, And they were both very articulate and they weren't just talking about them, they were talking about society as a whole. Greater participation. And they're saying, look, we're going to inherit the mess that this generation is leaving.
Yeah.
But they were both advocating that get everyone involved.
Oh, I'm a fan of that because let's face it, often the poor don't vote. The young poor person's parents don't vote. He's got no role model of how it works or anything else. So
these two young kids, obviously, well educated, articulate, and. You know, I thought they made some very interesting comments.
Yeah.
And I thought it should be encouraged that, as you say, the next generation of leaders, voters.
And, of course, as when you're young, you see the world differently as often you get older.
You tend to see it black and white.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you often, I remember
why
my first...
Why don't you old folks do this, or why don't you old folks... And you say, it's not till you get older, you realise there's a lot of grey...
Mm. Oh, when I first started voting, I just voted what my parents voted. I didn't know anything much about it, you know. That was just,
I think my parents both voted Liberal and Conservative, so they cancelled each other's vote, and I voted Labour.
But
we had, at school, we used to have dummy election campaigns.
Yeah.
And we had candidates for both parties or all the parties, and we went through the motions of campaigning and voting and came up with results. So we were politically aware at 16.
I just remember as a kid, you know, they'd be, if there was a group, any group of my parents or in that sort of situations, and they'd all be going, well, you're talking about the election, and it was like, well, let's hope it rains, because then the poor will stay in, you know, the masses will stay at home.
I think there should be more education about the democratic system, the voting system in schools.
Mm. Yeah.
So they've got an understanding, because as you say... Some parents don't vote, and so the next generation don't vote.
Well, that conversation won't be happening.
Doesn't exist.
In their household.
So school, unfortunately, is the opportunity to bring a bit of enlightenment to...
Yeah, I agree. And the argument is either too immature.
Not trying to persuade them to vote either way, but this is the system. This is how it works. You put in your ballot, blah, blah, blah.
And let's face it, they go, young people are too immature, don't know what's going on. I know 90-year-olds who are immature young and don't know what's going on.
stupidity is not age exclusive.
No, it isn't. Mm. Which we've found out.
Yes. There's some idiot 80-year-olds as well as some idiot 16-year-olds.
Yeah. So it's across the board.
Yeah. Yeah.
But let's face it, idiocy and stupidity and arrogance and ignorance, they're not exclusive. They are part of society. So that's how people want to vote, and that's how they're entitled to vote. Yeah.
Yeah, but they shouldn't. You shouldn't push your arrogance onto everybody else.
That's
why what you're saying, Mick, is an eye opener about the 15, 16-year-olds.
This is why we have elections. And as people say, with a democracy, you can't stop. You can't rest your laurels. You've got to keep fighting the whole time.
Otherwise,
the moment you give up, there'll be others all try and take advantage of the situation.
And I'll take it away
from you. And then it's too late. You've lost your civil liberties.
Well, there have been surveys both in the UK and France and probably elsewhere where a large percentage of the young people have gone, no, we're not really interested in democracy. As long as the leadership does a job, we don't
care. Be careful what you wish for.
But that's what the polls are showing.
They can see the system's buckling and not working, and you would be turned off, but then... If you do that, then you're giving it to the extreme...
Oh, of course, yeah.
Both left and right.
Well, you're potentially giving it to fascists. Yeah.
Yeah, so basically, you remember, you know, your history of Nazi Germany. From 33 to 45, there was no elections.
That's right. You know, and
I remember a conversation years ago when I was living in Melbourne, and then one guy said, oh, what England really needs is a benign dictatorship. I said, that's an oxymoron. So what do you mean? He says, well, it might start off benign, but total power corrupts totally.
Yeah. You just totally get rid of your opposition.
Yeah.
You outlaw them. You outlaw the political parties.
You pick on that group of people, and when you finish with them, you pick on another group of people.
Yeah.
That's what fascists and communists do.
And then you cancel elections. They did that in Algeria.
Emergency powers, that sort of thing. That's what Hitler did in Nazi Germany. He declared emergency powers because of the dissent and the trouble which they caused in the first place. But that was a pretext. Oh, I've got to do this because I've got to save, look after you people.
Well, let's face it, we have emergency decrees like from the America.
It covers a multitude
of
sins.
But we also here, fast track.
Under emergency.
We're all getting this sort of...
It covers a multitude of sins.
Of course it does.
Yeah. So it's undemocratic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no, it's a scary time, right?
But
the worst thing is it erodes democracy, and then there's the thought, oh, why we have it? Nothing changes because we...
And then when things go pear-shaped, you go, oh, what happened to my civil liberties? Well, where were you when...
Yeah, how come that person's allowed to drive on that road and I've got to walk on a dirt track?
Mm.
You know? Yeah. that's...
I had this very same a conversation with a client of mine. I asked him, because he was on a job seeker with work obligations.
Mm. Yeah.
But, and they got the, you know, the green, orange and red traffic signals set up. Yeah. And I asked him, oh, did you vote? And he honestly said no.
Mm. Mm. And that's hence the issue.
Yeah, you didn't vote. It allowed... You were just one of many who allowed this to happen.
Yeah. Because certain individuals get into power by default and they can change the rules and then you're penalised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I told him. Mm. And he said, oh, he'll vote next time, but I got my doubts.
Well, and often don't forget, people are it's all real. If you're a voter,
people
feel intimidated because they don't really understand the form.
Yeah.
English not very good, whether they're what ethnicity they are, etc. So it's intimidating. Forms and all that are intimidating. Processes like that
are intimidating.
Yeah. You know. So what's the easiest way out if you're intimidated? Don't go.
Yeah. It's a shame.
Puff your chest out and go.
Because the Electoral Commission goes out of its way when it sends out ballot papers in several languages.
It does.
But then this particular client was a white European or New Zealander.
So he's got no excuse.
And just this is a thing that I've thought about. You know, they put out, and good on them for putting out several languages. Just because you're a Samoan doesn't mean you can read good Samoan.
But at least they've made
that one there.
True, but at least the Electoral Commission's made some.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
To try and get the message across.
And it's like in Māori.
There's only so much they can do. Somewhere along the line, you've got to pick up the ball and run with it.
Sure.
Yeah. And that's can't keep blaming the government department because they haven't done enough or it's short of taking them by the hand and walking up to the voting booth.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you supposed to do?
But that's what I go back to. The languages are all great, but they're not taking into account that a lot of people don't even understand their own written language.
Literacy, so they lose the confidence.
Again,
how far is the government supposed to do? I mean, next you'll be talking about remedial language courses, so I mean, where do you draw the line?
Yeah. I'm just saying they rely
on people,
it.
Yeah, but some people need to take responsibility for themselves.
Yeah, so what you were saying before, democracy and I suspect franchise education in schools.
Mm, that would certainly help.
Then you have young people going home, my grandparents don't speak, they only speak in their indigenous tongue.
Mm. Yeah.
But they don't read and write. They can't read and write.
Yeah, exactly.
They may be illiterate, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that the children learning it in school bring it home.
Mm.
Teach them.
I think it'd be a good thing to push.
I think it would be a good thing to push.
And let's face it, those are not going to vote.
And we've got our elections ourselves this year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, which will be interesting.
Date not set that though,
speculation might be November, but this is part of the news media trying to speculate what's going to happen 26th. I just ignored it. Said, yeah, right, you don't know anything.
Well,
yeah.
They're waiting for the silver lining.
It's usually around October, November, isn't it?
Yeah, because I think by law that's got to be before December something.
By law they have to name a date.
Yeah.
The line in the sand.
So they'll just wait. Let's face it. The government is waiting for the silver lining. They'll be
desperate for good news.
Well, I think they're waiting for the 300,000 Indians to come off the boats with money and stimulate the economy.
Yeah, right.
Change the demographic.
Well, and that, but they're not talking about that so much. But you know,
they will.
But they'll still be thinking about how much money they can get on their extra on their properties.
But that needs to be discussed, debated, and all ratified.
It hasn't been ratified yet.
Yeah, that's mid-year stuff.
Yeah.
So there's only, gives you about 4 to 5 months.
Which may bite them in the bottom, because I think it's going to be a bigger debate.
I think I saw an article where Peters wasn't actually happy with
it. He's not. He's not happy at all about it.
No.
And there's been articles in the paper this week about the problem in the Indian cities, about how filthy and how disorganised they are, you know? And they're saying many Indian cities are becoming unlivable. So there's it needs to be a debate too about populations and what size that we should encourage to grow to or not.
Do we have the infrastructure to support a population that
size? Exactly, and how are we going to get the taxation for it?
That was an interesting comment, because I follow cricket.
Yeah.
And I think one of the cricket games that was...
Oh, so you want the Indian influence?
No, I don't want that. I don't want to full stop. Otherwise we'd be bribing the groundsman. Sorry. No, there was a game that was actually abandoned because of smog.
Yeah.
Mm. They said it was fog. Yeah. I doubt it. I think it was smog.
Yeah.
Who was this?
I think it was a game between South Africa and India.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think Lionel Messi, the famous footballer, went over to India recently on a tour.
Oh, that's right,
And they had to abandon some of them because the people were of the pollution and people were angry about the pollution, etc.
And also angry because he didn't hang around very long.
No, well, because the air quality, etc.
Well, don't blame him.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to have a short life.
Yeah, well, I reckon the air quality in Pakistan and Islamabad is probably the worst in the world.
Well, it's not... what happens, of course, is India was a rural population. And it's urbanised.
Yeah.
And if you've got 1.5 billion people...
Yeah.
It's also the industrialisation that's got in most countries as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lack of regulation, lack of...
And what do we say? 5% pay income tax or 5.5%
pay income tax. Yeah, well, that's an issue too.
So they don't have the money and the strength of infrastructure. And that's what worries me about getting rid of regional councils and fast-tracking. You're getting rid of controls...
Checks and balances.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So that makes me it makes me nervous when you have groups of people come here and if they're not used to checks and balances or used to circumnavigating them. What does that mean for our societies?
Generally,
And the same thing like education about voting. I think migrants should also get far more education about.
So they're
aware of why you pay tax. You know, the hospital's there, but someone has to pay for it.
And that all requires more input financially.
Oh, yeah, it means our strength in our government departments.
Yeah, which means more taxation to cover the cost of educating.
We have to
functioning society. If we're going to go from 5 million people to 10 million people, which seems to be the... there seems to be... a push there. We have more people, the economy's better. I don't agree with that, but that's what they're saying. Because the same third of population, you get 100 million people. If a third are still poor, you haven't solved anything,
We still have the same old.
Which we've seen, and we've got examples. The UK, all the Europe countries, they still have the same percentages of poor, regardless of the population.
That's an interesting point.
So what else? Who else has got elections? Brazil, America's got the midterms.
Midterms in November,
And that'll be interesting. The pick is that they'll definitely turn the Congress, will go into a Democratic, because there's only a few seats in it anyway.
That may be the end of the good news. Okay, they swap Republicans with Democrats. It's business as usual.
Well, it just makes Trump lame duck. But then he uses...
It's business as usual.
...presidential decrees. So,
Yeah, that shouldn't have happened, eh?
That was the... And that wasn't the presidents originally who did that. That was Congress and the Senate saying, it's too hard, the president can decide.
Yeah, I think a lot of Democrat input into that too, wasn't there?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Both
so it doesn't really bode well.
No.
I don't think. It's just business as usual, as far as foreign policy, as you've said before, there's nothing between the two.
No, it's two cheeks at the same bottom.
It needs a total overhaul.
Never going to happen, though.
No. And they do have education around that sort of stuff, about their voting system in the United States, They have that education.
I'm surprised that hasn't been stomped on. Surprised that government funding for those sort of education programs hasn't been... Hasn't been, hasn't been cut.
But
the population ignorant and you can do whatever you like.
Yeah, but you see, going back, we're harping on back to Nazi Germany. Well, in their schools under the Nazi system, you had to swear allegiance to to Der Führer. And I think Trump would have some kind of wet dream about the same sort of thing for him.
Of course,
So he wouldn't want to do away with
what he wants. He wants the population in control from birth to death.
Yeah, basically.
Every aspect of life is prescribed by by a party.
Yes. And monitored by the secret police.
Yeah.
So apparently the Senate, because it's still, you know, it's still first past the post, but so the Congress, will, they say the Congress will change, chances are, which it often does
It only changes in membership. It doesn't actually change in policy.
No, they'll block
or
more.
Or the message or whatever, you know.
Yeah, only real critical thing is if the Senate is flipped, because that would be a big thing. But they say the chances of that are quite slim, unless people really get fed up with
Trump.
With Trump and the...
Well, there's been some flashback. Like Minnesota, they just returned a Democrat. It was staunchly Republican, and now it's a Democrat.
Oh, it was Texas? Was it Texas?
Minnesota, and they've had... Yes.
There was one in Florida, wasn't there?
Yeah. And they flipped to a Democrat. And I'm like you... I'm not in love with the Democrats. The Democratic system machine, they help support Israel and their bombs and everything else. Their foreign policy. There's no daylight between Republicans and Democrats on that.
It's a real clamp cheek job.
Absolutely. It's a good description of it.
Must get uncomfortable after that.
Yes.
So no, we'll watch this space. But that's sort of saying that if Trump got in trouble with the Senate did change because it's about a third. All of Congress is up for grabs, right? The whole lot get voted this time, apparently. But the Senate's only a third of the seats. You know, there's 100 seats.
Then there's some representatives.
And then they have a few governorships and things like that. It'll be interesting in America. What those Republican areas will do, whether they'll stay loyal, because there's definitely a civil war going on in the Republican Party. The tragedy is the Democrats are basically, there's almost secret handshakes saying, well, look, it's your turn, we'll just implode for a while and you guys take over and do the same thing.
Dirty little deals, eh?
Interesting, because the new mayor of New York has just been inaugurated. There was a very good interview with his father on Al Jazeera.
Okay, yeah.
So he restored my faith a little bit in Mandani, because I thought he'd gone a bit soft when he went to the White House and had a conversation with the orange man.
Yeah. No, he said in his speech, I'm a Democratic Socialist and I'm going to stay that way.
If you're a New Yorker, I'm your mayor. A slight twist on that inclusive speech, but
Mandani.
Here's hoping he can deliver.
Well, there'll be a lot of people against him to try and undermine scuttle him.
Even Democrats themselves.
So we saw that with Corbyn, and we saw that anyone who's a threat to the machine, that comfortable alliance between of the capitalist sort of system, I suppose, put it mildly. It'll be interesting how he gets on. But he's a clever guy, and he's got clever people around him. And he started off, announcing, all the stuff on what helps what I call the average and the poor New Yorker. So it'll be interesting. But it's a big. There's more people in New York than New Zealand.
16 a million, isn't it?
Even the Democrats, some of them, Dan Crowd, Mandani's policies, they know it's not feasible. So he's even getting inertia from within the Democrats.
The right wing of the Democrats who they'd just change colours just like that, But anyway, we wish him luck. And he's certainly started off in the right mode. And he's, I think breath of fresh air. And what they won't like, what I call the hierarchy in the Democrats and in the Republicans, is here someone. If he's successful, this thing could be a contagion, which America needs a bushfire going right through it. There'll be a lot of people trying to crush him and make it a failure. Anything to do with Session, look at Cuba, Venezuela, anywhere that Argentina, anything that mentions the word socialist or we the people, for the people, by the people, tends to get attacked.
Supported by the very people that would benefit.
Exactly, strangely enough. So, we'll see what happens there.
There were just a couple of things that I picked up on. And I called it animal cruelty in the woolshed.
Okay.
All right.
Have you ever been in a shearing shed?
Yeah.
And that what they picked up on is some of the antics of shearers and the way that they treat sheep while they're being shorn.
The way they manhandle.
Yeah. There was one where they're banging the sheep's head against the floor and they're
bad-tempered shearers.
And where sheep get cut by the shearers.
Shears.
But usually that's probably more accidental than deliberate.
Well, one would hope.
Yeah. And they're wanting to have some sort of processes in place to...
You mean regulation?
Regulation, yes. Regulation. I remember one particular story from the... This is my experience as working in there, because you used to be employed, in inverted commas, as a rousey.
Yeah.
As where I think sheep was kind of... was moving around a bit and got
unruly,
and got accidentally cut
by
the shearer's blade, and it was quite a nasty one.
Oh yeah.
So what the shearer actually did was cut off a bit of twine and stitched it up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's still potentially they can die quite easily from a bad cut infection.
So he stitched it all up. But I don't recall shearers doing that or banging their heads as they go down the chute.
I did occasionally because I was a kid and my dad had a sheep farm. Yeah. Not a big sheep farm, but we had, we'd have four shearers, I think. We had, and most of the time, but it was even people, as they get unruly sheep or your thing, and people get angry with them. Mm. It's like trying to control something that's shaking around and they've forced their head to the ground.
They might pin their neck to with their knee to the floor to get some form of control. Sometimes what would usually help was if you had people grabbing the sheep for the shearer and just dragging them out. We would do that for even me. Yeah.
But usually there'd be someone, the shearing gang, like the farmer would employ the shearing firm, the contractor, and he'd have a shearer. So usually the contractor kept an eye on them because, you don't want bloodied sheep and all that coming out the back and all that. Mm. So, I think most of what are called shearers or even it's not just shearers, even farmers who do crutching and which is crutching is tidying up their bellies for lambing dagging and all that, they can lose their temper. So it's about loss of temper. So it's a bit like a parent with a child, smacking their child but being really angry and over smacking their child. You know, it can happen.
I've never been to a shearing thing, but I've seen striking is very hot, hard work.
Oh, it is hard work.
It's extremely hard. Tough.
It's tough. They'd beat the gym bunnies in hands up in physical strength.
See photographs of shearers bend it over, and they can all day long wonder about your back.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes they will have their back have a brace on the back, yeah.
And some of them have had real bad, they'd actually jack up a thing
or harness
that takes the support.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
need it after
the end of their careers, yeah.
Yeah.
A flock of sheep in a couple of days. Yeah.
But I used to remember as a kid, I'd watch the shearers and they'd come in and they'd work in their houses and then they would sweat. Sweat would just pour off them. Then after the finish, they'd get out and a couple of crates of beer would come out or whatever they'd just drink and that right. And then the next day start, 7 o'clock or whenever they started.
Yeah.
And honestly, the sweat would just like almost like a tap pouring out of them. But they worked again all day. They were young, hard men,
And they were wiry too. They were strong.
Give them a competition with an All Black, with a gym, who works out in the gym. I think these guys beat them hands down. Very strong young men.
Yeah. We sometimes to help, we would capture the sheep and drag them out for them. The biggest battles that you would have with a sheep was a ram, a full grown ram.
Sort of illusion. And it doesn't just happen with sheep; it can happen with cows in the dairy shed.
Oh yeah, yeah.
People lose their temper.
There's been episodes of slaughtermen unloading cattle and treating the cattle real badly.
Bring their bad mood. If you're in a bad mood,
kicking the crap out,
and
of
you
the
bring
cow.
That to work.
One of the worst incidents I heard and this happened even happens in the cow shed, was the person would have a lot length of Alvethine.
Oh yeah,
and cows to try and get into milking.
Yeah,
get beaten with that.
Yeah, it's a bad tempered. If you're in a bad mood, was. I don't know if it still happens. But yeah, bad people losing the plot with an animal.
Yeah, basically. I remember a cow actually losing the sight in one eye.
I don't think anyone of our age would have seen some, lost tempers with cattle. Mm. Including myself, bloody not so much hitting them, but just losing your rag because the sheep are meant to be going to that paddock and they all go around, could be quite frustrating.
Yeah, but,
I think now the value of cattle and sheep and the more awareness, I don't imagine it's happening as much as when I was
always hope.
Yeah. And the other one was...
Even just from a monetary point of view.
What's what I mean? They're worth so much money.
Yeah, you don't want to beat the hell of them,
So anyway, there's articles advocating some sort of
control
regulation.
On that sort of way that...
Animal cruelty.
Sheep are treated. Because, you know about the shearing competitions and how they churn them out. You don't see any incidences of that. During those sorts of things, but it's just those other...
Well, and you get paid per hundred or whatever goes out through down the chute for once they're shorn. So, as I say, there's also quality checks and all that, so...
But nowadays, it's kind of moving towards sheep that you don't have to shear.
Well, let's face it, there's not the sheep numbers.
Yeah.
It's full of dairy cows, but it's same thing. Anger's anger, you lose your rag. You don't want to beat
them. Slightly light-hearted, but I was watching it. Have I Got News for You the other week? And they're talking about the gay sheep, producing a particular wool. And I thought, and you could see the people, the participants at the panel looking at the question, gay sheep.
Yeah,
apparently it's a real thing.
Okay.
Obviously, they must be able to provide provenance that the wool you bought has come from two gay sheep. That's just unbelievable.
Mm. Just a laugh.
And I'm thinking, have we not done enough damage to ourselves? We're now engendering gender for apart from the basics.
Well,
just bizarre.
I don't know enough about. Genetics, etc., of animals, but it makes sense, I guess, that only a certain percent. Birds can. I remember Kōkako or whatever, they thought they had all these pairs and then it worked out that quite a few of these pairs were two males.
Right.
It's
quite bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
But the fact that someone's making money out of
gay sheep,
particular gay sheep wool. Unbelievable.
Okay.
And what do Aussies call Kiwis? Yeah. It's also to do with sheep.
Yeah.
The other one was one I caught on TV One News. Should our festive season holidays be shorter?
Well, if the weather's like this, I think you'd probably get people saying, do it later in the year.
This is their rationale, the people they spoke to. As longer holidays are having a negative impact on productivity, according to the so-called experts.
Yeah.
It's all to do with...
Money.
I do think, I know this... When was Christmas this year? It was on a Thursday.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
People seem to have stopped the week before, there was sort of this closing down of the country by sort of the Monday before Christmas, It wasn't the day before or anything. It was... So the Friday was the end day and... Almost a week before Christmas.
Our last day was the 19th, but we closed down because the main business, which is the Oscar program, the schools finish.
Yeah.
Finished on the last school, I think it was Te Rapa, finished on the 19th. That's when we finished.
Mm-hmm.
And we come back on the 5th, so we only have 2 weeks off.
Which makes, makes perfect sense.
Because other people are returning to work. We need to put our children into a program where we can't look after them ourselves.
But it's quite interesting. I've got a nephew and he's got a factory. He makes, little baby carriers for on bikes and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it's done in China. He sort of sells them around the world, etc. But the factory's in China. And I said, do they all shut up? He said, no, they keep going. They don't have their Chinese, just keep going and they'll have their Chinese set.
So
productivity, I see the roads all stopped, the road workers all stopped early, so the traffic, which makes sense, you don't want road works everywhere, why there's so much traffic on the roads,
interesting that we got that construction, that motel construction, not far from home.
Yeah.
And I know that on those days of the Monday right up to Christmas Eve, they were working.
Yeah.
And then the week, Monday to Wednesday.
On those ordinary days.
They were working.
Yeah.
People were still working.
Yeah, the libraries were, you know, not all of them were open, but there were, I think, Central and two or three others were still.
Central was closed.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yep. So, but on those three non-public holidays.
I think there was only three libraries open.
Yeah. So that's sort of a service if someone really needs one,
So that was an interesting one. I thought it could possibly, they could look at it, but I'm of the thinking.
Well, okay, here's one for you to throw it in. If New Zealand's not going to become a Christian country anymore.
Yeah.
Or we're not Christian, but
a secular.
It's a secular society.
We're becoming more and more secular. Yeah. Is Christmas for a religious reason anymore, or is it just a
public holiday?
Time for a break.
Yeah.
How many go to church? Christmas Day. Out of the population.
I don't.
You know? I don't. I'm not against it or anything, and some do, but we're definitely not, oh, this is the time of our Lord. It seems to be the time of what the mall's doing, you know? It's about Christmas trees and Santa more than, goodwill to mankind.
I think it's all to do with commercialisation.
But as our population demographics change, some of the other festivals of other peoples will be just as big as Christmas, if not bigger. Diwali and the Chinese New Year.
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah.
All that all comes into it. So all that sort of thing needs to be discussed and considered.
What they were saying also in that article is that we have more public holidays in Australia and one other country.
Certainly more in the UK.
But we have less than places like France and who have other public holidays as well.
The French are trying to pull them back, aren't they, because they... Of the economy. Yeah.
Productivity.
Money. Yes.
Which is the dangerous thing. We go on about productivity, but then workers can lose rights over this.
It has a social impact too, because the workers are going to have to carry on working when normally they might have had some time off.
Yeah. And this is what I was sad about this summer for us, especially in this area, is, of course, if you're in a factory or a yard that shuts down just for that 2 weeks, you don't have the luxury of being a teacher and choosing when you go on holiday, etc. It's a longer period. The yard's shut for 2 weeks. That's when the holidays. If the weather's yuck all those 2 weeks, that's your main holiday gone.
But somebody like me coming to more or less the end of the working life.
Yeah.
Still, I've got annual leave, so I've kind of put that in the bank.
Yeah.
And sort of say, well, weather looks a bit decent in February, we'll take it then.
And that's I noticed my son works for Kiwi Rail and they've been at a big push to, they have so much leave all outstanding. Mm-hmm. So he said they had to take lots of leave to try and, because leave owing is still money owing to you. And if you earn it 2 years ago now and you get paid a dollar or more than did a year ago, it's actually cost you to keep all that leave lying around. You know? And I think there is sort of rules that you're only allowed, unless the boss says otherwise, you can only store so much leave and then they can
leave it. I've got quite a bit.
I've got one.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, I've got one. Annoyed me because I actually listened to the, listened and read the translation from the Chinese president's New Year address.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, he does one, like a lot of leaders does every year. And that was all right. And his main thrust was successes of China and as one quote that stood out to me is that that every leaf and branch of the Chinese people garden is about the people's well-being. So he's still trying to he was still being inclusive of everyone. And that was just about the sports and the activities and sure, a little bit about military, but not much, the reunification of Taiwan. But it was only a small part of it. It was only a 10-minute address, if that. Okay. TV1 News, that same night I watched it, and it was all about China wanting to take back Taiwan. The summary of the address was military and Taiwan. Yeah, it was so biased. And I thought, well, actually, it was a promotion of the successes of what China had done for the year. and just emphasise the military side. And I said, that's naughty, because then people who don't read, bother to get another viewpoint or read the address or anything else, would just go, oh, the Chinese, they're just threatening, you know, that's what they're doing. So bias, that's not fair, you know? And I thought that was poor.
Well, it's mainstream media for you.
Lamestream.
And so from that, I thought, well, there's an example. It's always often hard to get a good example of why other media sources are good. But I thought, here's an example. If I hadn't have been able to go, and I found his written speech, and it was put into English, and I checked, it was about 15 paragraphs. Two were mentioned about military. The rest were about the successes and well-being of the people, etc. But so I thought, well, here's a benefit of me as an individual being interested, having access to other media sources, so I could check up. I could check the veracity on that TV One piece on the Chinese.
Yeah, and it's quite.
I'm sure it was TV One. I don't think it was TV Three. Yeah, but I just thought that just shows you got to be so careful, and it's naughty of what I call reputable media sources. Well,
they're no longer reputable.
Well, that's
they've lost that honorific because they're so biased.
Yeah, and I just thought that's poor.
You take things in its entirety. You know, that's what you learnt to do.
Virtually took something out of context.
Yeah, and if you'd watched, I say, anyone who watched that in New Zealand and saw that would have thought it was all about China wanting to take back Taiwan, which it does, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't the main point of the speech at all.
It was a celebration of
Chinese successes, et cetera, which you'd expect, you know, and what they need to work on. But they're up to their, I hope the other politicians are listening, they're up to their 15th five-year plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, they think, oh, what are we going to do? They've already, what are we doing in...
They've got a unique problem, the Chinese, because this year they made $1 trillion.
Oh, they've got too much. Yeah, they're getting too much money.
the imbalance.
Yeah.
They've got the reverse problem that everyone else has got.
But that's
what happens if you plan ahead.
Yeah.
Well, and say they went through there, they got their 50,000 kilometres of high speed rail. 50,000 kilometres.
And how much is America made?
I think they've got 400. Yeah, it's bug of war.
Most
Europe's got a bit. England, I think, has got some. The UK, but not a lot.
No.
But you're looking at countries of a comparative size, like China, USA. That's probably the comparison, eh?
And physical, not population.
Physical, yeah, comparison. Yeah, exactly. So the high-speed rail here.
And America's got, it is still the largest economy, but it's the largest economy, but of course it's about military, you know?
That's what dominates the economy.
Seems to, yeah. Mm. Yeah, they're sure they've got food, soybean and wheat and all that.
Yeah.
But it's still very much militaristic.
You just have to look at the infrastructure to know that there's a problem.
Yeah.
Or the state of it.
Yeah.
There's a major
problem. Well, and their people seem to be quite happy to send bombs to Ukraine and to Israel and drive around and have poor infrastructure and have paid for healthcare, you know, not universal healthcare, all these things that should be basic. No, they'd rather, they tolerate both governments, Republican, Democrat, shipping this money offshore. And it's not the money offshore, shipping the influence offshore because the bomb is made in America. That's why I think the people do.
No, Al Jazeera covered this, I think it's today, on account of the cost, and the groundswell is now changing. People are over there getting fed up because the cost of living, price rises and the tariff, it's taken a toll.
Well, I say there's
And this is why it's impacted on Trump and his Republicans.
People are
really miffed.
Well, the young are finally asking, saying, why are the boomers telling us we've got to do this and we're the ones missing out, unless you're the children of the wealthy.
You can go.
It seems to be a growing groundswell of protest.
And what you hope is the young from the Republican side and the young from the Democratic side realise they've been played.
You two have let us down.
You boomers have let us down and sold us a pup. And we have a different, you know, the whole model of America, which is the world.
Maybe some of those politicians should retire.
The Mamdanis will...
His generation.
They will multiply.
Their generation, yeah.
And that's what, for the future, we're thinking about the future, that's what we need to encourage, surely.
Yeah.
Yeah, succession plan, as you said earlier, Fred.
Yeah, for the world, for New Zealand, you know. Yeah,
even here.
Yep, exactly.
Yes.
Because I don't see much of that happening.
No.
Okay, so that was my thing. I just thought that was poor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I noted that.
I thought on TV One on about the China report, president's report, I thought that was...
And there'd be more like that during the course of the year.
Oh, yeah,
more
bias.
That would have been probably repeated in Australia and everywhere else.
They do it over here when they interview politicians over here.
Yeah.
They give the national New Zealand minister, like, you know, an easy time, but if it's another politician from the other side, they get grilled.
Yeah, that's exactly true. Yeah.
They've been doing that for years now.
Yeah. And you go back to China, who's made a big attempt to lift their living standards for everyone compared to America, compared to here?
To
here. You know, they have, and his comment about for every leaf and every branch of the Chinese garden, we need to nurture, not just, with the top poppies and we'll give them a night or et cetera and it'll trickle down. We know that doesn't work.
It's been proven.
Yeah.
It's like comments when you get on, like Facebook, social media comments. And there was two examples that come to mind. One person made a comment about, and we spoke about this off air, about the gentleman who was struggling on the New Zealand Super.
Yeah. He was struggling on the... he wasn't getting the New Zealand Super.
Yeah,
he was getting part of it. Because of the arrangement between the US and us.
Yeah. And it's reading the comments of what people make, and one that stuck to mind was that he was earning so much a week. But if you read the article and through knowledge, you would know that pensions are paid fortnightly.
Which they should be paid weekly. That would be I personally think we can pay the benefits weekly. Why can't we pay pensions weekly? Mm. With technology, you know, the old days if it was physically, you had to put your money in a brown paper envelope and give it to you over the post office. Those days don't exist anymore. No. Why can't we pay pensions weekly?
Yeah, but I think it's 6.5, doesn't it? Once you've gone to the pension, you adjust to a fortnightly pay.
Yeah, but my argument is the poorer you are, the more closer together your pay should be.
Yeah, that's probably
Same people will still have a problem.
Well, they could struggle. Well do, but I had this firsthand. We used to have a guy, and he had a disability, etc. But he used to get paid fortnightly. These are the days government departments got paid fortnightly.
Yep.
And the trouble is, he had a life of Riley for 1 week, and then he was basically lived off sugar and cups of tea in the workroom because it had all gone the first week.
In that first week,
And then I got him paid twice a week, and that really worked. That lifted his
twice
living standard. Said, well, this guy needs to get his money on I can't remember what days of the week it was, and the boss agreed to it. And his living standard just improved. Yeah. A lot of certain family members and friends around him didn't like it, because he no longer was a big access of cash, because on that first week he was everyone's friend.
He was lending money out and not getting it back.
Splunging off him.
Yeah,
it's a better word.
Yeah. So, I still am a fan of that. That the closer together, there's less hardship at one end.
So this article did make out he's been paid $900 a week.
Yeah, but like that. That was somebody's interpretation of it.
Yeah,
telling people
it would have been blatantly. Blatantly false.
Yeah. So the other one was comments made about journalists being killed in
Gaza.
Yeah.
One person basically made a comment that, is that a lie? And
what?
Is it a lie? That's what he said. Is it a lie? So we know from looking at other news sources that it's incorrect, and we know that the thinking of the Zionist state is to keep everything hush-hush.
Yeah.
So what do? You eliminate the sources.
Well, you tell lies. Yeah.
You eliminate the journalists.
And don't forget, there's also a prejudice. I still think there's a big feel... I don't know if it's an understanding or belief, but a prejudice in the West that brown journalists aren't really journalists.
They are journalists. We know that.
But there's still a thinking that, they're Palestinian journalists. They don't count the same as someone from BBC or CNN, etc. You know, I think there's definitely a prejudice goes on that
They're on.
Yeah,
we know that
Al Jazeera's done a good job.
Gaza is the worst place in the world for journalists.
Yeah, well, it's the worst place in the world for child
amputees. And now Israel has just added to that because they've just banned almost 40 UN organisations or humanitarian organisations in Gaza.
Yeah.
And as someone pointed out in the report, these same organisations also report what's going on in the country.
Oh, yeah, they don't want...
So
yeah.
It's another means of controlling and stomping on the narrative.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you hear from Al Jazeera reporters... We can't report from there because we're not
banned.
And that was exactly the same with the Indian elections, wasn't it?
Mm.
They couldn't report from there because of...
Which erodes democracy. And this is Israel that prides itself on being democracy for themselves. But as far as the Palestinians
are concerned... They talk about being a democracy. There's another interesting program, isn't it? Talking about the Ethiopian Jews.
Okay.
Apparently, there was a secret organisation or secret operation in the 70s where they transported lots of Ethiopian Jews to Israel to bolster.
Yeah.
But those same Ethiopian Jews are still second class citizens.
Oh,
yeah. Even today, they struggle for equal rights.
Because of their colour?
Because of it.
Yeah. That's in a nutshell.
Yeah. So, this is the democratic country in the Middle East.
They've got elections too this year. Israel coming up. So they are a democracy if you're Jewish.
Yeah.
It seems to be.
Yeah, but if you're...
I think the Palestinians are allowed to vote.
It'd be like in America and there'd be business as usual.
Yeah. Mm.
Because they're protesting about Netanyahu for his alleged corruption. Nothing to do with what's going on in Gaza.
The occupation and West Bank.
The illegal settlements,
Yeah.
But I do... if you're the Israelis, don't call them... Israeli Palestinians, though Israeli Arabs are allowed to vote if they've got Israeli citizenship.
There must be few and far between, aren't
it? Up to 20% of the population. Well, they've been very quiet. They've been very suppressed about
surprised.
What they think.
Yeah. Because their turn will be next.
Well, that's the danger. If these real far right get in there...
If they finish with Gaza, finish with West Bank, they'll get rid of them from Jerusalem. They'll kick them all out.
All of them,
by any means.
Yeah, there's a real prejudice going on there.
Yeah.
Which is a tragedy for the Jewish people. I've said it before. It's a tragedy for Jews around the world, what's happened. Mm-hmm. And
the other one that also comes out of that neck of the woods was the voting for the death penalty for Palestinians. That was Gevier.
Yeah.
And saying in the article was kind of saying that there, a certain amount of doctors have put their hand up to be part of it.
The difficulties in Israel aren't about this is bad, our occupation, our apartheid, our killing of Palestinians. Mm. It's actually, well, Netanyahu's bad, but it's not really a big argument about anything else.
No.
It's tragedy. And we know that by polls. Even the polls said nothing to see here. The Israeli people generally have supported what they're doing to Gaza and the West Bank. Pretty awful.
Brilliant. You got one thing there, Mick, and we've got about a couple of minutes.
The last of the homeless hotels in Hamilton will be no longer...
Closing, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, 57 children, 156 adults, 152 households were emergency housed in Hamilton at the end of November, according to data from Ministry of Social Development. Again, they're going to get rid of it. And the article ends with, emergency housing remains available as a last resort for those in genuine need. So my first thought was, how do they define genuine need? You would have thought being homeless would have been a qualification.
Did the article say what's happened? Is there more housing available? Obviously, must be.
There's no mention of that.
The questions don't get asked, don't they?
No.
And that's what I mean. Okay, good.
They were citing 900% spike in police call-outs to these, just in Rotorua, some of these motels that are used for them. So the suggestion is, these are undesirables, they're criminals, let's push them away. So, how did they, Associate Minister Talma Poteka, define genuine need?
And so what's happened to them?
And they've gerrymandered the figures, so you can't find out how many have been... Because they're making them jump through hoops now.
Well, there may be an increase in social housing. But that reporter should have actually put in.
Well,
the people from 2 years ago have 50% have gone into social housing, 20% have died, 10% have gone to roof relations.
But has there been any more social housing?
We don't know. Well, where's the... It was evidence.
Yeah, yeah. That's the
because
question.
Because you think if they were building and they had solved it, they'd be crying like mad that we've solved homelessness.
Well, yeah. And I say they will be selling that to their...
And that ignores the Salvation Army saying that the increase.
Yeah. And we're out of here. Catch us on Free FM and catch us on our podcast.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.